So Beth Moore has made some very controversial comments about, quote, Christian nationalism and Trumpism. Is she right?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks for joining us on a very important broadcast today, Michael Brown. So glad to be back live and in the studio with you. This is the day, December 14th, for the official counting of the electoral votes, which would then officially declare Joe Biden as president. Others say, hold on, still legal investigations, legal challenges, forensic investigations. We still don't know what the final outcome is. Hey, at a certain point, there's going to be an inauguration. At a certain point, either Joe Biden or Donald Trump will be inaugurated, presuming they're healthy and ready to go. And at that point, we won't be discussing the ifs, ands, or the buts about who is the president, but the discussion of legitimacy and all that, that's going to be ongoing. But we're not going to focus on that today. We're going to focus on a broader subject, namely Christian nationalism. What is it? Is it healthy? Is it part of the fabric of our nation? Is it dangerous? Is it a deception? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Over the weekend, Jericho March in different cities in America, big rally in D.C., Stop the Steal. What's that about? Is that a good example of believers saying enough is enough and crying out to God and coming together? Or is this an example of dangerous Christian nationalism? We're going to talk about that. We're going to do our best to sort these issues out. And I'm going to play a phone call from a few days ago from a dear Christian brother, and then some interesting reaction to it that I happened to notice. I want to talk to you about that. I think you're going to find this enlightening. Now, I'm not just taking general Bible questions today, general theology questions. I know you couldn't ask me all last week because I was away, but any calls on topic, if you want to weigh in on this issue, in a moment I'm going to draw attention to a Beth Moore tweet that's getting tremendous response for and against, but a lot of response. I wrote a whole article dealing with it. We'll talk about that. First, though, it's wonderful to be back with you, and I did pray for you as listeners and viewers of The Line of Fire and friends and supporters of our ministry as I was away last week. I had a habit probably since the late 80s, did for well over a decade, where I would get away every year or two for 3 days, 5 days, one time for a whole week, and just seek the Lord. Sometimes a big goal would also be to rest in the midst of a crazy busy schedule, but for the most part, it would be to disconnect and to get with God and to pray for hours a day and to be in the Word and to meditate before Him and to bring my life before Him and ministry before Him. It had been many years since I'd done that. Many years. Close to 20, I think. But many years, for sure. And maybe a little less than that, but a long time. And normally, the first week of December, thereabouts, I go to India. And it would have been my 28th trip to India. But because of COVID, the trip was canceled. And I thought, you know, why don't I take time? It's time when we normally pre-record shows anyway. Why don't I take time to get along with God? And right as I was praying about it, three different people, two in North Carolina, one in Texas, quite out of the blue, said, by the way, if you ever need a place to get away, I've got a place. I thought, okay, I guess this is a real amen from the Lord that I should do this. So went down to Texas, met with dear friends, maybe some are listening now, that regularly pray for me and Nancy in our ministry, and a house of prayer in Texas. So really devoted to us and the work we're doing. So we started Saturday morning together with them, flew out on a Friday night after radio, and then went from there. It was about an hour and a half drive with one of our grads over to farmland he has in Texas, rural Texas, with a tiny little A-frame house. And that's where I was for 8 days Had one break to have dinner with the family and spend some time with them. Otherwise, I didn't even go out of the place, you know, beautiful farmland and place to walk. I just stayed in there and spent a lot of time seeking the Lord and a lot of time worshiping the Lord and a lot of time expressing my love for the Lord and hearing His voice and turning towards Him and seeking to be more pleasing in His sight. And I just want to say from the heart, there's no one like the Lord. There is no one like the Lord. And I was talking to Nancy about it. You know, it's just, it'd be the most amazing thing that I'd be praying and pouring my heart out. And the next thing I'd just be weeping because of His goodness. It's like He did anything. It's just a revelation of who He is. You get so overwhelmed that all you can do is just bask in His presence and weep and pour your heart out. So with everything in me, friends, I want to glorify the Lord. I want to be a blessing in your lives. I want to help you. I want to serve you. If I ever say things that seem controversial, I'm not just trying to be controversial. I'm 65 years old. I've been through a bunch of battles for the Lord that I've been privileged to stand in. I've learned by my mistakes over the years as well. And there are no games to play. I've never been about playing games. But if I wasn't playing games when I was 18, the first time I preached, I'm certainly not playing games at the age of 65. So I say what I say out of love. Sometimes it may be controversial. Sometimes it may offend you. If it offends you because it's true, then thank the Lord for it and take hold of it. Rebuke, loving correction, it's a godsend. And I thank God for those that have that ministry in my life and for the Holy Spirit bringing correction to my life and rebuke when I need it. If it's offensive because of misunderstanding, let's try to understand each other. If it's offensive because of judgmentalism in my heart or pride or a spiritual holier-than-thou attitude in my heart, forgive me, that's never my intent. With everything in me, to the core of my being, please hear me, friends, to the core of my being, my number one preeminent desire is to see God glorified. That is what I burn for, that people would know Him, know who He really is, experience Him. That's what I live for. That's what I breathe for. That's the passion of my life. And if that means that 10 million people listen to every word I say, if that means nobody ever knows my name, all that's immaterial. The only thing that's material is that the Lord's Prayer is answered. And it begins with, "Hallowed be your name." The day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus the Messiah is Lord to the glory of the Father. Things on earth, things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. Some will do it willingly, some will do it unwillingly. But all will bow. All will bow. And what I just want people to know God. I want them to know His goodness, His justice, His love, His mercy, His power, His purity. I want them to know who He really is. And friend, we can have political differences, we can have cultural differences, we can have theological differences, doctrinal differences, practical differences. We can have all those differences. But to the core of your being, if you love Jesus, isn't that what you want more than anything? You get past our divisions, get past our immaturity, get past our carnality, get past the superficial things that stand in the way. What do you want more than anything? If you could push one button and have that one prayer answered, wouldn't it be, oh God, that your name would be made holy, that everyone would know who you are? I mean, isn't that the answer to every problem in the universe? Isn't that the ultimate solution, that people would know God, that people would worship Him and adore Him and thereby become like Him, embrace His values, embrace His being, embrace His character? Doesn't it say during the millennial kingdom on the earth, passages like Isaiah 11, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas? Isn't that why there's no war? Isn't that why there's justice? Isn't that why the wolf lies down with the lamb? Because the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You know, I've been in Jewish ministry since I got saved, right? Sharing the gospel with my Jewish family, then immediately with other Jewish friends and the local rabbi. And so I've been doing Jewish ministry for almost 50 years, 49 plus years, as long as I've been saved. 3 days from today is the day, by God's grace, 49 years ago, I said, I'll never put a needle in my arm again. The point of surrender that I reached in God, that was when I knew that I knew that I knew that my sins were forgiven and his life was filling mine. But ever since then, 49 years, you know, I've been doing Jewish ministry. And while I was away, I didn't focus on that, but I did pray, you know, for some of my dear Jewish friends, rabbis, and others that some I've known since the beginning for 49 years, praying for God to open their hearts and minds to reveal Yeshua to them. That's what I want, that if they would just know him, if they could understand who he was, everything would change. For the mockers, for the skeptics, for the cynics, for activists of other causes, and those that are out there from every angle, yeah, many have turned away from God willingly, knowingly. Their hearts are hard. They're rebels. I understand that. But many others have never encountered him. Many others are sinning, but they're accountable for their sin. And yet, like Saul of Tarsus persecuting believers, he said he did it in ignorance and unbelief. And when he encountered Jesus, when he encountered Yeshua, everything changed. Everything changed, and he became one of the most mightily used men on the planet in world history. So that's my ultimate heartbeat. You say, well, why get involved in politics? Well, God's called me to be your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. God's called me to address cultural issues, and cultural issues intersect with political issues. So we comment them. I comment on them as we feel it's right and appropriate. But I am not a political commentator. I am not a conservative talk radio host. I am first and foremost a servant of the Lord and a preacher of the gospel. And that is going to come through in everything on one level or another. Not every article is going to be an overt gospel article. Not every commentary is going to be an overt gospel commentary. But in point of fact, that's my ultimate heartbeat. So I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I pray that if you don't know him, you'll really come to know him, because to know him is to love him. And all of you that do know him, may you have a fresh encounter with his goodness, with his reality, so that your love for him deepens. Those of us who've left our first love, may there be supernatural restoration in the days ahead. All right, 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. We come back, we'll get into this discussion of Christian nationalism. And a quote from Beth Moore that's getting a lot of attention. Is she onto something important, or is she missing the point?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What is Christian nationalism? Is it healthy? Is it part of the fabric of our nation? Is it unhealthy? Is it a mixing of two kingdoms? What's your take? 866-34-TRUTH. Sunday morning, Beth Moore tweeted this out, and she's got close to a million Twitter followers, and as of last night, it had like 108,000 likes. I'm sure it's way more than that now. She said this: I do not believe these are days for mincing words. I'm 63 and a half years old, and I have never seen anything in these United States of America I found more astonishingly seductive and dangerous to the saints of God than Trumpism. This Christian nationalism is not of God. Move back from it. This Christian nationalism is not from God. Move back from it. Let's just grab a clip from Saturday. Remember, she tweeted on Sunday. This is a Jericho march. These events were scheduled for different key cities and swing states where the votes are being disputed. Let's give you a little feel for what happened.
America is under attack by corrupt forces trying to silence our voices and our vote. Just as the Israelites circled the walls of corrupt Jericho, so we peacefully march, pray, fast, and protest until the walls of election fraud and corruption crumble. Jericho March was born of a vision from God. We are calling on patriots and people of Judeo-Christian faith to march around their state capitals every day at noon. These marches will culminate on December 12th with a Let the Church Roar National March in Washington, D.C. and in the swing states. Come and join our Battle of Jericho. Visit jerichomarch.org.
All right, so there's a very clear statement that there's been election fraud. There's an attempt to steal the election, which would then open the doors for a radical leftist agenda that would transform America as we know it in very negative ways. And Christians responding, saying, we're going to cry out to God. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. As I'm speaking, let's just put some video footage up to give you an idea of what happened in D.C. So good-sized crowds, I don't know the estimates, did not get as much media coverage as one might have expected. President Trump actually flew over in helicopters, so that got obviously a roar from the crowd. And a comment on Facebook, Diane, this fraudulent election is not about President Donald J. Trump. It's about freedom versus Marxism, all right? So many would make that comment that it's not about Trump. This is about the freedom of the election, and Christians should be gathering. It's about freedom rather versus Marxism. Christians should be gathering. They should be crying out. They should be seeking God. They should be making statements. They should be saying enough is enough. That's what Christians do. And by the way, Beth Moore also put out another tweet saying, by all means, don't go the way of Bidenism. Don't replace Trumpism with Bidenism. Right. So she's not saying vote Democrat. That's not the issue. But is this healthy? Is this a good thing? Yeah. She said, God help us. We don't turn from Trumpism to Bidenism. We do not worship flesh and blood. We do not place our faith in mortals. We are the church of the living God. We can't sanctify our idolatry by labeling a leader our Cyrus. We need no Cyrus. We have a king. His name is Jesus. You say, well, she's missing the point. She's overreacting. She's accusing of us idolatry. We recognize Trump is just a man, but he's a man raised up by God for these moments in history, and therefore we are standing with him. I understand that, and again, I'm a Trump voter, right? Trump voter. When I was on Mike Huckabee's show, what we recorded late September, maybe it aired early October, somewhere around there, and when I explained why as evangelicals we've chosen to vote for Trump, he says the clearest explanation he ever heard. In other words, with all the reasons not to vote from why we did, that he says the clearest explanation he's ever heard. Tweeted that out after the show. All right. So I get it. I know the pro-Trump argument. I have also sounded the alarm against what others are calling Trumpism from the start. From the moment I began supporting him once he won the primaries against a vote against Hillary Clinton, I understand the stakes are very, very high. I get that. What if the Democrats here, worst case scenario, they steal the election, right? They win the other two seats in Georgia. They now have, for all intents, a majority in the House and the Senate. Even though the Senate would be 50-50, Kamala Harris would then cast the deciding vote if there was a tie. They can now vote to pack the Supreme Court. So all the years and work to get certain justices on, pack the Supreme Court, just add, okay, we're going to add five justices, whatever number, 10, all be ultra-liberal. They're going to swing the borders wide open, let tons of immigrants come in that will now all vote Democrat. Then they're going to impose a radical Marxist agenda on the society. Should not Christians be concerned? Yeah, worst case scenario that people are warning about, should be very concerned, should absolutely be praying. However, the issue is that the cause of Trump becomes the cause of Christ. The issue is the well-being of America becomes the advance of the kingdom of God. The issue is the Republicans become the party of God and the Democrats the party of Satan, and it's just black and white, period. That's the problem. And I wrote an article interacting with Beth Moore, and I'm going to go to your calls. I just want to lay out the issues first, okay? I wrote an article interacting with what she had to say. Was Beth Moore right to sound the alarm about Christian nationalism? So put Beth Moore aside. Some of you love her. Some of you don't like her ministry anymore. Let's put Beth Moore aside and just focus on the quote itself. So what is Christian nationalism? Here's what I lay out in my articles. Let me go through this, all right? What exactly do I mean when I talk about Christian nationalism. I can't say Beth Moore. I can say me. All right. So are you a Christian nationalist simply because you love and appreciate America? No. Are you a Christian nationalist simply because you're a patriotic and serve in the military? No. Are you a Christian nationalist simply because you believe Trump was better for America than Biden? No. Are you a Christian nationalist simply because you believe there was electoral fraud and are doing your best to fight for a free and fair election? No. Are you a Christian nationalist simply because you believe that America must protect our religious liberties? No. Are you a Christian nationalist simply because you believe that God raised up America for special purposes in order to bless and help the world? No. But you are a Christian nationalist if you confuse loyalty to your country with loyalty to the kingdom of God. You are a Christian nationalist if you wrap the gospel in the American flag. You are a Christian nationalist if you, quote, merge Christian and American identities. As defined by Pastor Jeremy Beller, Christian nationalism is the intertwining of the kingdom of God with the kingdoms of men. In the American context, it is often displayed by describing America through language reserved for the kingdom of God. The marriage between patriotism and righteousness further blurs the line between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of the world. To be sure, much of the attack against Christian nationalism comes from left-leaning thinkers, as can be seen in some critiques of the concept. So I quote Andrew Whitehead and Samuel Perry, who wrote the book Taking America Back for God, Christian Nationalism in the United States, and an article summarizing their views. Christian nationalism merely uses the Bible to impose its conservative political agenda. By asserting that they are true followers of Christ in a country that is founded on Christian principles, adherents of Christian nationalism can brand their political opponents as both ungodly and un-American. By playing the role of an oppressed minority, Christian nationalism adds moral strength to its position while hiding the truth that its ideology is aging out and driving young people away through its intolerance. So that's a left-wing critique of Christian nationalism. But what about what Beth Moore said? And I'm quoting from my article. In my view, what she tweeted is correct. As a Trump voter and Trump supporter, what she tweeted is correct. There is a terrible danger of Trumpism. It has infected much of the church, and Christian nationalism is not the gospel. So many Christian conservatives today are equating the fate of America with the fate of God's kingdom, making one party, obviously the Republican Party, into God's party, and the other party, obviously the Democratic Party, into Satan's party. That's why on Saturday, prayer rallies for election integrity were scheduled together with Jericho marches in key swing state cities. Now, is this a biblical thing? This is just like Israel taking down Jericho, a wicked city that was to be destroyed. That it's just that clear, the righteous versus the unrighteous. This was not simply a display of patriotism. This was not just a public demonstration against perceived injustices. This was not just a show of support for Donald Trump. This was about the kingdom of God advancing. The two have become merged as one. That's why a peaceful protest and prayer march that took place in Washington, D.C., where participants rallied for America's election system to be free from fraud and corruption, was called Let the Church Roar. That's why a victory for Trump, even before the elections were contested, meant a victory for Jesus. All the more is this true now that there's widespread perception that the election was stolen. And that's why I tweeted, as a Trump voter, I must say candidly that it's very troubling to see many American Christians far more mobilized for Trump than they've ever been mobilized for Jesus. The problem is that the differences between being Christians who love America and Christian nationalists are often subtle, since we have many shared values, such as being pro-life. Many sincere believers will also ask, should we just stand back and let our country be destroyed? Should we let democracy be crushed forever? Should we simply hand over our nation to corrupt leaders? Should we not stand up and fight for what is right? Certainly not. We should fight for what is right and against what is wrong. But the cause of Trump is not the cause of Christ, nor is the battle for the Senate a battle for the kingdom of God. America, like every other nation on the planet, is part of the world system, or in New Testament terms, part of the world. It's not the kingdom of God, nor is it a special manifestation of the kingdom of God. In fact, God's kingdom values are often diametrically opposed to the values of our country. Look, America, you know, Christian nation. Okay, we've aborted more than 60 million babies since 73. We lead the world in making and exporting pornography. Our murder rates are off the charts, as are our rates for teen drug use, teen promiscuity, teen suicide. Much of our history has been marked by racial injustice. We have as many radical elements on the right as we do on the left, and we've pushed LGBTQ extremism on other countries at the risk of losing our financial. They're going to lose our financial support if they don't go with our agenda. So to equate America with God's kingdom or to merge the cross with the flag is to make a terrible and dangerous mistake. And that's the era of Christian nationalism. So you can read the whole article when you get a chance up on stream.org or askdrbrown.org. But the bottom line is, if we would put Jesus first and preaching the gospel first and loving our neighbor first, that would be the best way to serve America. It's not that we don't get involved in other things. It's just that we don't baptize our political activity into the cross and confuse the two. That's the concern. All right, we're going to come back, take your calls. I got a few more things to say and some practical guidelines.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you have not read my book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, when we passed the Trump test, it came out what, July? It's more relevant now than when it came out. Yeah, and it's going to be relevant for some time. I think you'll find it very, very helpful. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. As we focus on the question of Christian nationalism, what is healthy, what is unhealthy, 866-34-TRUTH. I just got a note from someone that's fallen away from the Lord, been backslidden for some years, and said the other day, after seeing further evangelical support for Trump, I'm never going to a church again. And I wrote, because I know this person from the past, I wrote and said to her, hey, can we separate Trump from the gospel for now and just talk about your relationship with God and so on and what happened there? And the problem is, and she's very happy to, but the problem is that there's a tremendous association between the gospel and Donald Trump right now. Now, again, I'm going to go to your calls. You speak your mind. You can agree with me, disagree with me. But let me try to give you a perspective, because I reflect on this much. I pray much. I don't just want to say words that are irrelevant to many of you. I want to try to be precise and accurate. I have received tremendous opposition for my stance on gay activism, transgender activism. God spoke to me years ago, reach out and resist, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. But because I'm known as someone who stands against same-sex, quote, marriage, or believes there's a better way than sex change surgery, because my views are well known, I'm hated for that. All right, so be it. I knew that going in. I mean, that was self-evident. And many people feel I'm hurting them, attacking them, and hateful. That's how they perceive things. No matter how loving or gracious I am to them, I'm rejecting them. I understand that. So I'll take that flack because my position is biblical. in other words, I can say, hey, I preach Jesus to you. I share the gospel with you. And if you hate me and reject me and my message because of my stand on these moral issues, that hurts because I love you. But so be it, because that's truth. That's truth. In other words, if you reject me because of my stand on controversial cultural issues, not a problem, because I'm basing that on Scripture. So your battle is with Scripture. But if you reject my gospel message because I so openly support and defend Donald Trump, that's a totally different thing, because now I'm defending Trump versus defending Scripture. You see the difference there? That's the key issue. Voting for is one thing, defending is another. Or looking to a man, people say Donald Trump is the only one who can save America or save the free world. That, I say, becomes idolatrous. But we'll have a conversation, because, again, I'm not here to stir up controversy. I'm here to advance the kingdom and glorify the Lord and help us be everything God wants us to be. Amen? All right, let us go to the phones. We start in Rocky Mount, Virginia. Stephen, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you doing today?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
Yes, I have a lot of thoughts in my mind, but I'm going to try to address one thing at a time. Do I agree with Beth Moore? To some degree, I do. And to some other degrees, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I see it, I do know that the atmosphere is very different. Even I'm an African-American male. And even the atmosphere is very different than when President Obama was in office. There's something very different in the atmosphere now than it was then. One part of me, as an African American, it was a wonderful achievement, and it's just like when Virginia won the NCAA championship. I had tears within me that bubbled forth, and with him winning, I bubbled forth too. in that light that it was history right before my eyes. But with this situation, there's several things in my heart. Number one, I'm a part of a congregation. And when I go in the congregation, I've never seen so much animosity, even among believers. And sometimes it seems like if you're African-American, if you have voted Trump or you stand with Trump, well, maybe not on everything Trump stands on, but you stand on some of the principles, mm-hmm. it's almost like you can feel the tension. And what I don't understand is if we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, just as well as we go to the book of Corinthians, it talks about different gifts, but one spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how in the world can there be so much animosity in if we're supposed to be led by love. And from my take on it, when I look at President Trump, I don't get caught up in the isms. But what do we do with this scripture where it says to pray for our leaders that we may have a quiet life? Now, by us praying for our leaders that we may have a quiet life, I take that to mean that they do well. And we know in scripture that the Lord deals with nations, and in righteousness is also a nation. So without the isms and things like that, my heart goes out for the man because I really do believe he have our best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart is broken. I didn't vote for him. But when I see things like moving the embassy to Israel, when there was presidents before him that did not do it, and he had the courage to do it, my heart says, amen.
Yep.
When I see him trying to take back where we can have the freedom to pray in the name of Yeshua, my heart rejoices. When I even watched the other day on some news channel, I don't think Fox even aired it. I don't think CNN even aired it. When he was reading about the story of the Christmas story, how he was calling Yeshua B'nai Elohim, Ha Elohim, the Son of God. And to me, it reminds me of an uncle. You may have an uncle and he's have an alcoholic problem, but he's one of the greatest people you want to meet. Mm-hmm. Is the whole man bad?
Right.
Because of the alcoholism?
Yeah.
And to me, I think...
No, no, yeah, I appreciate it. I wanted you to get to share all your thoughts because the moment you started speaking, I knew that you thought these things through and wanted to lay them out. So I just want to jump in, though, and say this, Stephen. Yeah, the level of animosity in the body on either side of the Trump debate is totally unchristian. In other words, we can have differences, but the way we trash each other, look down at each other, you know, judge one another's salvation. It ought not to be. It ought not to be. And yes, I am thankful for all the good Donald Trump did. That's why I voted for him without hesitation in November. I voted for him with hesitation 2016, without hesitation 2020. All right? Because he did the things that he said he would do. Now, I also knew there would be a lot of collateral damage, him being who he is. And to me, the key was that we were not primarily identified with Trump, but that our message that we're screaming to the whole world is about Jesus, Yeshua, right? That's what everybody knows us for. And then way down the list over here, and we voted for Trump. Somehow, whether you're for Trump or against Trump, that's it. That's everything now. When we stand before God, that's going to be God's big question. Did you vote for Trump or not? No, that's not going to be God's big question. And that name, like every other earthly name, is going to be forgotten in the sense of in the presence of God, there's only going to be one name that we're focused on. So, yeah, the issues are grave. The issues are big. They're massive. They are. They're very, very big. We understand that. But our attitude one to another. So I'm going to come back to that, Stephen. Thank you for weighing in. I want to get to some other calls, but thank you, sir, for weighing in. I appreciate it. Let me say one quick thing, and then more calls. Someone said to me on Twitter, and I've heard this before, you don't get it. This is not about Trump. This is about babies. Babies getting killed, and Biden wants to kill babies, and Trump doesn't, and that's what we're fighting for, the babies. I don't believe that you're fighting for the babies. Why? Because the rest of the year, you're not doing anything. The rest of the when I say you, let me qualify this, the vast majority of us that are passionate pro-life voters do virtually nothing the rest of the year for babies. And the vote is important, but the vote's much less important than practical action that we can take on a daily basis. That's a fact. And we've aborted in the years under Reagan, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, and Donald Trump. So what's that, 24 years, right? 24 years, over 20 million babies during that time. It's not just going to stop if Trump gets four more years. And it's not suddenly going to spike if Biden's in. Of course it's an important vote. Of course. We're rallying over that. Well, then rally the rest of the year. Do something for the unborn the rest of the year. Come on, let's not be hypocrites. Said with passion. And I'd say with a smile, but it's too serious to say with a smile. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to Victor in Lorain, Ohio. You're on the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Braun. I want to thank you for having me on. And I want to say thank you for all that you do. And I agree with everything you've said thus far. I think you hit right on the nail. And I think it's just a matter of priority. And as Christians, Christ should be our priority. And that doesn't mean that we can't be good stewards of this land and be concerned about what's happening. And I think we have a biblical responsibility, according to Romans 13, to be involved in the affairs of our land. But as you've already said, if we become Trumpsters over being Christians, that's where this whole concept of Christian nationalism comes into play. Now, I'm a patriot. I served 4 years in the United States Marine Corps. I'm currently a law enforcement officer where I'm from. And I very much respect and love this land. But I understand that if the time comes where I have to choose between the Constitution or the Bible, as Christians, we have to be willing to lay down our national pride, the Bible, or not the Bible, the Constitution, and our allegiance to the country for Christ, because that's what we're called to do. And so I just want to say that, you know, I didn't vote for Trump the first election. I didn't think that our votes even mattered, you know. Mm-hmm. But after seeing everything that he's done, like the last caller said, I voted for Trump this past election. And ironically, it seems like our votes didn't matter this time around. But at the end of the day, Trump is not Jesus Christ. I support him. I pray for him. And I want the best for him and our nation. But we have to put Christ first. Yeah. Thank you for having me on, Dr. Braun.
Thank you, Victor. Thanks for your words of affirmation, too. And thanks for your service to our country. Yeah, we can be good patriots. We can fight for our nation. And by all means, if you're convinced there was election fraud, keep standing. Keep standing. And let's all pray for a righteous outcome. Absolutely. But friends, there is a dangerous mixture. If you say, well, I don't see it, pray. Maybe it's not your heart. Maybe it's not your life. But it's out there at a very serious level. All right, back with more of your calls. Stay right here. Shake the nation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Braun. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Braun.
866-34-TRUTH. Okay, less than 30 minutes from now, we are doing our weekly YouTube chat. Virtually never do it on a Monday, but with me being away all last week, at the prayer retreat, we're going to be doing it today. So 4:15 Eastern time, that's less than 30 minutes from now, 4:15 Eastern time, right here, our weekly exclusive YouTube chat. When I say right here, so on the Ask Dr. Braun YouTube channel, ASK Dr. Braun. Also, if you don't get my emails, which are really informative, useful, helpful, please take a minute to sign up. And when you do, we've got a really neat series of emails you get the next few days with some of my testimony and background with what we do. We just implemented that. Folks seem to really love the info they're getting. So go to Ask Dr. Braun, askdrbraun.org, and just click to receive our emails. All right, back to your calls. Let's go to Sue in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You are on the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Braun.
Hey.
How are you?
Good, good. Thank you.
Yes.
So I just had a couple of thoughts on this Trumpism, and I do find it to be just a fascinating phenomenon. And I wanted to ask, do you think it's possible that what people are seeing as Trumpism and this kind of, you know, exuberance and enthusiasm, is really people seeing tangibly God work in very amazing ways and just being kind of excited about getting behind what God is doing? And in some ways, is it possible that even these rallies that I know you say there's more enthusiasm there than there is for like a revival meeting, but I'm wondering if it's almost close to being a revival meeting. And I feel like as I've watched this presidency unfold, it actually has been a part of my spiritual awakening, because I think it really has to almost be supernatural as to how this whole presidency continues to move. It doesn't really make any sense. And this is from the very beginning. Like, I just find it fascinating. I never took it seriously, you know, up until when he was elected. And then I started to wonder if this really could be God moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then he keeps saying so many really powerful spiritual truths. I mean, it's always peppered with just a really strange package and, you know, offensive tweets that people lose their minds over. I don't, because sometimes I think, you know, as far as the big things, I'm wondering if he's got those more solid than a lot of people. I just wonder. And you know, sometimes I heard a quote that said, sometimes what we think is really bad, God doesn't so much, and what he hates, we don't think is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look at his, like, you, I would say I've become much more pro-life since he's, it's been like a spiritual awakening for me, you know, and just when you look at what's going on in the Middle East or Israel, I just, am like, maybe God really is using this person, and maybe this
right.
really is, you know, and I think we should support it.
Right, so let me jump in and first say I'm so glad you called and articulated things so clearly, and whatever spiritual awakening is happening in your own life, I'm thrilled to hear. That's wonderful, and I have no doubt that God used Trump in many ways, and that I even felt that he was supernaturally raised up, and put that in writing, because the odds were so against it, and so on. Now, were the rallies in D.C. like revival rallies? No, I've been in revival. No, if they were like revival rallies, people would have been on their faces repenting of sin and crying out, Jesus, 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 not USA, USA, USA. I guarantee you that. I served in the longest running local church revival in American history. And I'm somewhat, I've been called an authority on revival. In any case, I've written on it, studied it. So no, that was a patriotic revival, not a Jesus revival. And when they get confused, that's where I get concerned. So here's my issue, all right?
Yeah.
A, if God raised up Trump and got him in supernaturally, well, right now, he's not getting him in supernaturally the second term. At this moment, he's not getting him in supernaturally. What does that say? If God orchestrated the first, was God not powerful enough to overcome electoral fraud or other things? That's my first thing. The second thing is, we know there's a list of things in Proverbs 6 that God says that he hates, right?
Yeah.
So one of them is a lying tongue. Another is a haughty or arrogant attitude. Another is someone that stirs up division among brothers. You can say that Trump does all those things, top of the list. So God also hates the shedding of innocent blood. So, of course, that's why, you know, I voted against Biden and for Trump, against Hillary and for Trump, pro-life being one of the biggest things. And no questions God used him. But my perspective is, unless we recognize the degree of damage that he also does, look, many Republican leaders are saying to him, just accept the elections. You're tearing the country apart. You're ripping the country apart. My bigger concern is the amount of people who have been turned away from Jesus because we feel the need to defend Trump at any turn. That, to me, is more important than a baby being aborted or anything else, that if we turn people away from Jesus, there's nothing more important. So it's the mixture that concerns me. Not was God at work, but the fact that we're mixing the two things and not saying, okay, God used a man, very flawed man, for certain purposes, but I put no trust in the man, nor do I defend the man. I see God working and certain things. You know what I'm saying? That's and then a renewed patriotism is not necessarily a renewed spirituality.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of I've really gotten to be friends with a lot of Christian Trump supporters, and none of these people that I know worship Trump.
But what do you mean? What do you mean by worship him? Because no one's saying they bow down and say Trump is Lord.
That's the feel I get of when people like the Trumpism. I feel like that's just a very term to someone that supports Trump. I mean, I would say I would be considered a Trumpism by many people, and I just listen. I listen to them respectfully as to you know, what they think and why they're so offended. And it's almost like when I can listen to them as they start talking about them, there's something very, very it's an irrational hatred. I really can't put my finger on it.
Got it.
So
here's what I'm seeing, Sue. And I so appreciate you're trying to listen respectfully. I have seen almost inevitably that when I interact at length with someone, that let's say they say I'm a lifelong Republican, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, but I cannot vote for Donald Trump, and you guys are totally wrong to vote for him. So they're quote never Trumpers, right? So you got the Trumpists and the never Trumpers. And then I said, well, tell me why. Almost inevitably, they start bringing up all the left-wing talking points, and he wants to put people in cages, and he's a racist, and he's a misogynist, and they get irrational. I said, you sound no better. The never-Trumpers sound no more rational than the Trumpists. So, Sue, what I encourage you to do is just keep going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm yours, and I just want to honor and serve you. And if there's anything in me putting my trust in a man in the wrong way or confusing patriotism with spiritual revival, show me, and where my heart's right, show me. And he'll confirm that, because your attitude, I'm not your judge, I'm not God, right? But from what you're saying, that's the very attitude that I want people to have, to say, okay, I don't see it, but I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm trying to listen and understand. And then we all get on our faces before the Lord. We all get on our faces and say, Lord, we just want you and your will and your best. Hey, thank you for the call. I know with every call we could go on at length, so I apologize for not taking more time with each, but trying to give as many of you a voice as possible. But thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's see. We go to Atlanta, Georgia. Jim, you just got a couple minutes, so dive right in.
Right. Hi, Doctor. What an honor and a pleasure. Those last two calls were so good that the Marine, I kept repeating his name in my head. And then, of course, once you get on, I forgot it. Something began with an A, but he was a Marine and a police officer. And, I told the screener, I don't know her name, but I'm a fireman in the city of Atlanta. And I used to be Catholic, became a Christian 13 years ago. And my wife is Jewish, and she has become Christian. And I actually got to see you speak in Acworth, Georgia. You may not remember it, but you spoke at a little Christian church there, and I was sitting not far, like the second row back. So I've actually had the honor of hearing you preach, and it's one of the highlights of my life. Mm-hmm. And why I find this topic you're talking about, because prior to my conversion to Christianity, I put all my hopes and dreams in conservatism. Mm. It had become an idol in my life. That's where, and one day as I was getting ready to listen to Rush Limbaugh on the radio, which I had done for years before that, every 3 hours of the day, I heard a voice behind me say, do you realize, Jimmy, you're turning away from half of my people, hating half of my creation? And it wasn't like one of these things like, I actually looked up into the sky over my shoulder and said, are you serious? Hmm. Like, this is what you're asking me to do? And I have never listened to political talk radio since that day. So it wasn't like I was trying to conjure up some kind of weird thing. I went cold turkey from something I had been doing for years on the dime and just changed. But with Trump and everything that's going on, I'm getting drawn back into it through the TV. All right, and so,
Jim, here's what, I'm out of time, but let me help point you to keep your focus on Jesus. Don't get drawn into something God delivered you from. Let me help point you to keep your focus on Jesus. Get in the Word, pray, honor Him, share your faith. And if you feel to stay informed, do it, but in a very reserved way. Don't want to fall back into idolatry. Friends, 15 minutes from now, our YouTube chat.